Years ago, long before the narration of her father turned unreliable, dissolving like one of those sweet and lows in his favorite stale black tea, Nico would climb into his armchair and sit in his lap as he read The Phantom Tollbooth, or Tuck Everlasting, or any one of the hundreds of books in the cozy, dank farmhouse library. And even now, even here, she could smell her father's beard, feel the glow of flames from the fireplace, hear the soothing, salivary tones of his reading voice. And Nico wondered if perhaps that was life after life. Not a physical place, but a loop of some former time in which a person, after death, was allowed to relive over and over again. There, in a story, in her father's armchair, in her father's arms, Nico hoped that was the afterlife. She supposed she would know soon enough. Constellations. Nico stared into fire. Beside her, Harry's breathing had long ago fallen into time with hers, and she thought that one could hardly call them two separate entities. That at some point between yesterday and today, she and her dog had consolidated into a single cosmically connected creature of survival. Maybe this telepathic bond had been there all along, lying dormant below the surface. Maybe it took leaving the farmhouse, entering the wild, to coax it out. All around, the trees were thick. Every few feet, the base of a trunk exploded from the earth, rose up into the sky where branches reached like arms to hold hands with other branches, tree sisters and tree brothers seeking touch, listening for words of comfort in the dark night. I am here. You are not alone. The thought of trees talking to each other warmed Nico's stomach. She pulled a pen from her bag, held the back of her hand up to the firelight. There, in the space between her thumb and forefinger, was a single line in ink. Carefully, she drew a second line beside it. According to the map, the Merrimack River ran over 100 miles from New Hampshire to Massachusetts before spilling into the Atlantic Ocean. It helped to think of the woods on a large scale. By contrast, their walk in them seemed minuscule, their destination much closer than it actually was. She stared at the lines on her hand. 2 days down. At the rate they were going, she hoped to reach the river by the fourth tally, leaving her with 4 more to get to Manchester. Not the kingdom of Manchester, just Manchester. She could still hear her father's voice. The waters of Kairos are real. Manchester is a real place. She knew Manchester, or what was left of it, existed. Outside of that, she wasn't sure what to believe. Her father had seemed lucid enough, though the line between lucidity and opacity had blurred considerably these past weeks. The problem was there was no protocol in place, no books on the shelf, nobody in the wide, empty world to help her answer this question. What do you do when the person you most trust hands you a fiction and calls it fact? On her back now, tucked into the sleeping bag, Nico looked up at the stars and thought of her parents. How quickly her memories of them had come to resemble a place more than a person. A permanent imprint in the armchair. A dusty seat at the dinner table. The empty mantle by the fireplace. Her mother's dog-eared Bible. So long as they lived in the farmhouse, the farmhouse lived. It was the body, and they were the heart. But it was quickly becoming a ghost. Every nook and cranny a whispered reminder that her mother was gone. Her father wasn't far behind. The beating heart was winding down.